As the events of this world play out, never forget we are the people of God, and His promise is unto the people of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 13. Another thing to take note of before we read today, don't forget all of these parables are about the advancement of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom's on the march. God's got an army. Hallelujah. Amen. The king rules and reigns. And these parables are about the advancement of the kingdom in our world today. Amen. We're going to read the parable, and then if you'll keep your scripture open, we'll be able to refer back to it. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Matthew 13, beginning with verse 3. And Jesus spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now I want to say this, in this very service, this parable is true. And the preaching of this message this morning, this parable is true. There are some here, wayside soil, some stony soil, some thorny soil, but may to God we would all be good soil. Amen. I want to preach this morning, this may shock you, I'm not going to call this the sower, the parable of the sower. It's really not about the sower. I'm going to call this the seed and the soil. The seed and the soil. Why don't you pray with me? Let's pray together as a church this morning. Father, we know we need the moving of your Spirit. Lord, even as I stand here, I sense the greatness of so many needs. My inability, Lord, as a man to meet and address those. But, oh, Spirit of God, if you could begin to move and work. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the power, the excellency might be of God and not of ourselves. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, move. Do an eternal thing this morning. Set the captive free. Bind up the brokenhearted. Oh, hallelujah. Open the prison doors. Give hope where there's no hope. Strength where there's no strength. Help where there seems to be no way to get it. Move, oh God, through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Not long back, archaeologists dug up Herod the Great's temple, or not his temple, but his palace, one of his palaces. This was the palace that he had by Masada. You've probably heard that name from history. Now, Herod the Great was the king of Israel when Jesus was born. And from his palace, when they began to go through the ruins of his palace, they found a place where they stored food. And in that place where they stored food, they found a date palm seed. Been buried all these years, a date palm seed from 2,000 years ago. They planted this date palm seed in earth, in soil. And though it was 2,000 years old, life germinated in that seed, and a plant was produced. You that have gardens, you've probably wondered with me every year when you plant that old dry little piece of grain in the ground, to think that within that grain there's life that will germinate. There's a plant that will come about. But you see, that's just the issue. The life is in the seed, but it must be planted in the ground before that life is manifested. palm tree, a day palm tree seed, 2,000 years old, planted in the ground, it germinates life, and a plant comes. But I want you to know that isn't the only seed we have from 2,000 years ago. When I hold up this Bible right here, I'm holding up seed that's 2,000 years old. 2,000 years ago, Jesus spoke on this earth. Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago, he spoke into the hearts of people. And when he spoke, that word was a living thing that caused life, that caused a change, that caused hope. And it may be 2,000 years later, but this very morning, if this seed was allowed into somebody's heart, it would germinate. It would bring life. It would bring change. It would bring hope. It would make a difference, because this word is a living thing. Can you say amen? Brother Tim, my monitors went away. If you can help me. Amen. It's a living thing, this word of God. But it has to be put within the soil. I am convinced that we as a people, whether or not we make it in our times, is going to be determined by how we receive the word of God. How we receive the word of God. Amen. Could you listen with me all over the building? That's part of the parable this morning. Amen. Receiving the word of God. If we make it as a people, it's going to be because we have received this word. I've dealt with individuals lately, laid out before them the word of God, and here's what I heard. I tried it, but it doesn't seem to work. I want to remind us something, Brother Wilson. The word of God isn't just like a diet plan that you try to stick with and see if it works. It's not it doesn't work that way. It's not just principles you try and see if it'll work for you. The word of God is a seed. It is a living thing to receive into your life. And when you receive it into your life, it will germinate. It'll bring life in you. It'll begin to grow into a plant. It'll bring something about in your life. It'll give you hope where there was no hope. It'll give you strength where there was no strength. It'll give you wisdom where there was no wisdom. It'll give you faith where there was no faith. Amen. Don't just try the principle of God and say, well, I tried it, it didn't work. Receive this word in your life and let it grow. Let it grow. Amen. It's a living thing. What's going on in this parable? Verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Amen. The people had come to Jesus. I don't know if he was trying to get away for a bit, but he went down to the seashore, and the people spied him, and here they came running in groves of people, in droves of people. Here they came, multitudes. Amen. They came, and when they got to him, amen, to get away from the press of the crowd, he got in a boat, pushed off a little bit from the seashore. Not only did that separate him from being crushed by the crowd, but from that boat, he was able to use that boat as a podium to speak and to teach God's word. And God knows what he's doing, because how many has heard voices travel across the water? The lake could be many miles from shore to shore, but you can, on a still night, you can hear voices travel all the way across the lake. Amen. Because water will deflect, and it will project the sound of a voice. Sound. And so Jesus sat in that boat and he began to teach. And though it was a huge multitude, the water deflected his voice right to the crowd. Hallelujah. God knew what he was doing. He sat, the Bible says, to teach, and they stood on the seashore. Why don't we try that sometime? Why don't I sit down and you all just stand the whole sermon? I'm just joking. But don't get nervous. I'm not going to have you do it. It just struck me. That's what Jesus did when the crowd was standing. He sat down. But there was a reason for his sitting down. In that time, when a teacher got ready to teach, and to, as a sign of authority, as a sign that he had something to say, he sat down. So Jesus sat down, and he began to teach. But what I want you to get from this whole scene, that the attraction was simply and purely the word of Jesus.
Jesus. That's the only attraction that brought that crowd. That's the only thing that crowd was interested in. That's the only thing that was focused on was the word of Jesus. Why? Because his words were spirit and they were life. Hallelujah. I begin to think about that. The word was the attraction. Jesus didn't juggle. He didn't tear a phone book. He didn't plug a book that he had just written. Jesus wasn't fronted by a singing group, and Jesus wasn't fronted by a big name celebrity. Even they weren't passing out coupons for free gas or ice cream. Even I'm telling you, the only attraction that was there was the word of Jesus. How many believes that's enough of an attraction? Oh, his words, they are spirit and they are life. But I got to thinking about that, how it drew the crowd, changed the crowd. His word has never changed. It's 2,000 years ago, but his word is just as interesting, just as powerful, just as wonderful. It has the same characteristics now as it did then. Hallelujah. In fact, that's the point of this parable. There's power in the word. Nothing wrong with the word. It's powerful. The only thing that will make a difference is how is that word received. Nothing wrong with the word. If the word has no power this morning, it's totally dependent on whether or not it's received. Because if it's received, it's going to be discovered that it has a power. Can you say amen? Oh, the only difference is the quality of the soil, the condition of the heart, the attitude and desire of the heart. This crowd that had gathered, either they had passed through the fields on the way to the seashore and watched those farmers sow, either that or as Jesus taught, they can look at the slopes on the sides of the Lake of Galilee, and even as Jesus was speaking, there were farmers in their field sowing that seed. Amen. Whatever the case may be, Jesus used that as a parable to speak this truth about the power of his word and our need to receive it. It was sometime after Jesus spake the parable that he interpreted it to his disciples at a later time. In fact, this is the first parable we've run across that required interpretation from Jesus. And later he gave that interpretation to his disciples. His disciples asked Jesus why he spoke to the crowd in parables. And Jesus answered why he spoke in parables to them, his disciples. That's what they did. They said, Jesus, why are you speaking to the crowd in parables? He said, let me tell you why I'm speaking to you through a parable. Hallelujah. In fact, though these verses came later, I want to stop right now and look at them briefly. We can't go way into them, but here's what Jesus' response was when his disciples asked him, why do you speak to the crowd in parables? Look at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you, the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. What's Jesus saying? In a nutshell, if you want to know the truth, if you'll act on the little truth you got, God will give you more truth. But if you've got just a little truth and you don't act on it, that little truth you already know, it's going to be taken out of your life. But why did he speak to the disciples? It's just simply this. A big crowd heard that parable, but only a small number followed Jesus long enough, stuck close enough to Jesus long enough to get the interpretation. Amen. That's made all the difference. The whole crowd heard what Jesus had to say, but only a small band followed him long enough to hear his interpretation. Only a small band cared enough to stick with Jesus until the interpretation came. Jesus wasn't trying to keep the truth from anybody that wanted it. Others could have decided to follow as closely as the disciples. Others could have stuck around long enough until the interpretation came. Amen. Those Jews, they didn't want any part of that. They rejected Christ, and therefore they could not hear, they could not see what Jesus had to say. I'm telling you, the same is still true. A lot of people will hear the sound of the Word of God, but they won't stick close enough to Jesus until he tells them what it means for them. I'm telling you, we may hear the Word of God, but be like a disciple. Stick around long enough until the Lord speaks what it means to you. Jesus excluded no one from the interpretation. He gave it to everyone that cared enough to follow him. Can you say amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Only those that really care about the Word and care about their souls will understand. You say, well, I just don't understand that gospel thing. Maybe you don't care enough about your soul. Because if you care enough, he'll make sure you understand. Amen? Those that do not care will never get it. Hear me this morning, even this service. Those who do not care about the Word of God will not get this sermon. I promise you. But God has made it, Brother Rose, that the simplest among us, if he wants to know, if he cares, he's going to get it. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. It's based on whether we care or not. I can see even in a service. People think the preacher's blind, but I can see even in a service. Now, I'm a man. I won't judge it correctly in every case. But Brother Dale, it's pretty evident most of the time who's really wanting the Word and who really doesn't care at that moment. How many believes the preacher can't tell who's a listening and not listening? I mean, there's some pretty good clues. I don't have discernment of spirits. There's just some good clues. It's evident right at a service. Amen. Whether people are wanting the Word of God or not. Let's look in verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now listen, some people get this all wrong. There's some of our Calvinistic friends that says what God does, he says, I want Mark to hear my words, so I'll open his ears and his eyes. He's going to see, he's going to hear, his heart's going to understand. I don't want Bradley Lee to get it, so I'm going to close his ears, I'm going to make him blind, I'm going to harden his heart, and therefore he's not going to get my word. And so God just arbitrarily chooses this thing. But there's a little key here in what Jesus said. Look what he said here in verse 15. He said, and their eyes, who closed? Not God. Their eyes, who closed? They closed. They closed. Well, I thought it said God was doing this. Well, I'm telling you, it's really this simple. God speaks this word, but he has designed it so if you care for it, you want it, your eyes will come right open, your heart will open up, and your ears will open up. But if you begin to reject this word, if you begin to ignore this word, if you begin to push off this word, God has designed it that your eyes will close, your ears will close, and your heart will harden. But the point is, you make the choice whether you want it to receive it or not. If you choose to receive it, oh, understanding will come. You'll begin to believe it. You'll begin to see it. Even someone says, I just can't see what you're preaching about. I just can't see it. No, because you've already made a decision that you're not going to receive the word. But if you'd say, I'll receive it, those eyes would come open. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That may need a little bit of time, but that's all we can give it. It's the nature of God's word that not to receive it is to choose to harden your heart against it.
Amen. Look at verse 16. Listen to what he says to disciples, and these words can be said to people in this building, everyone. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. Think of how Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Moses would have loved to hear the teaching of Jesus that he has given to his disciples. Think about the word that we have. Can't we say we're blessed for what we've heard? We've heard the good news. We've heard the truth. I try to make it a point in my personal prayer to say, thank God I've heard the truth. I could have been born somewhere else another time, but from a little boy, I've heard nothing but truth. And I lift my heart and say, thank God I've heard the truth. People everywhere being raised in conditions, they don't hear the truth. They hear lies, 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 lies. But I can lift my hands and say, thank God, I've heard the truth. Hallelujah. Blessed are your eyes. They have seen. There have been prophets, righteous men that desired to hear and see what you've heard and see, and they haven't done it, but you have. What is the earthly illustration? Verse 3, we read this. He began to talk about a time when a sower went forth to sow. Let me just very briefly give you what it was like in those days, the way they did it. Amen. It was at the end of what we would call summer, probably the month of October. Back then, they didn't have tractors and combines and planters. Brother Michael, when it came time to sow, they didn't even plow the ground. We'll get to that. They got the bag of seed, slung it over their shoulder, and they begin to walk through the fields and broadcast with their hand the seed. And then they got back and got the plow and scratched and scraped the dirt over the seed they had planted. That's the way they did it back in those days. Amen. This sower was out there in the fields with his bag. Everybody that could see him, even from a distance, could see the bag, could see the movement of his hand, and know that he was broadcasting seed upon his field. After a hard, hot summer in October, amen, they saw what he was doing. Once he got that ground scratched over it, he waited for the winter rains that would come and the moisture would germinate that seed. And that's what Jesus was referring to. I want you to notice what's absent, not here in the parable. After the introduction of the parable, Jesus doesn't talk really about the sower. He, of course, is the sower of the seed, but the parable isn't about primarily the sower. Little is said of it. Amen. In fact, that's why I want to emphasize, and we'll bring this all together in a moment. Yes, there's wonderful things to be said about the sower, but Jesus is talking here to the receiver of the seed, not the sower of the seed. Therefore, yes, this parable is primarily about the soil and whether or not it's going to receive the power of the seed. Something else that's absent is the rain. Did it need rain? Yes, it needed rain, but this isn't about God sending rain. God will send the rain. Hallelujah. I said, God will send the rain. If you're open to this thing, God will send spiritual rain on your heart. It's not about the rain, it's about the soil. It's not even about the working of the field by the farmer. I mean, there's things that Christian leaders need to do, there's things that we need to do in our life, but this isn't about the effort that we put forth. This all goes back, this whole parable, to the soil. What kind of heart are we going to present to God for the reception of His Word? And so those things are absent. Amen. Let's look at what Jesus shares. First of all, He shares about the wayside soil. Verse 4, He talked about some seeds fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. The sower is broadcasting the seed, and in the act of doing it, there's not a whole lot of controls over slinging seed with your arm. Some of that
seed would get over out of the edge of the field and to the wayside, the roadside, beyond the road on the edge of the field. In those days, those farmers laid out their fields in long strips, and between each strip was a place to walk, amen, for the farmer to get from field to field and across his property. So we have the roadside, we have these narrow bands between the fields, and as he sowed that field, some of the seed would get on the roadside, on the wayside, and soon those birds would be swooping down. You till your garden and those robins are waiting for those worms you turn over. Amen. Amen. Those birds were waiting for that seed to fall on the roadside, and they came and got it before it ever got and underneath the earth, had a chance to germinate. That's the wayside. Then Jesus said, there's the stony soil. Stony soil, verse 5. Some fell upon stony places. There wasn't much earth, and because of that, they soon sprung up. But the sun came out, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. Now listen, any farmer has more sense than to sow seed on top of rock. Amen. It's not talking about that. What is stony soil? Well, there were those farmers. They farmed the soil is very in depth. And in many places, the topsoil was just real shallow over that old limestone and that stone of Palestine. You look all out it. That's the trouble. You can't always judge. You can look out of that dirt and you can't tell immediately where the topsoil's really deep and where it's just very shallow over the rock. But some of that seed fell on the shallow soil. That farmer scratched it under, and that seed was the first to germinate. Why? Because the rock underneath it was still warm from the sun, and that rock trapped whatever moisture there was. And so that seed was the first to get the moisture and first to get the sun, but it was in the shallow topsoil on the rock. It sprung up. Oh, the farmer was glad. Look at the seed beginning to grow. But because the topsoil was so narrow, so shallow, when the sun came out, the moisture ran out, the dirt wasn't deep enough to provide the nutrition, and that plant, it withered. It withered. We'll get to what all this means in a moment. Then there was the thorny soil. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. I want you to know, you don't have to plant weeds in your garden. Amen. They come up all on your own. Amen. It can look like a bare piece of ground, but I promise you there's weeds, seeds in there just waiting to grow. Hallelujah. You go ahead and you plant the good seed, the good plant. You can have a good plant this tall, but those weeds are coming up. And when they come up, it's only days that they grow so quickly, they overtake the plant. And once they overtake the plant, they take the sunshine meant for the plant, they take the water meant for the plant, they take the nutrients from the soil that's meant for the plant. Those weeds grow quickly and they grow up. Amen. The farmer didn't plant them there. But then there is the good soil. Verse 8, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. It's not shallow, it's deep. It's not the wayside, it's plowable. Hallelujah. And it's not full of weeds. Amen. It's going to give everything it's got to the good seed. In fact, if I could put it any other way, let me put it right there. Good soil gives everything it has to the seed, and therefore the seed grows. It gives its moisture to the seed. It gives the sunshine to the seed. It gives us new. I'm telling you, if you, I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you'll give everything you got to this seed, you'll be a good soil, and that seed will grow in your life. What was Jesus driving at? I tell you, first of all, he's driving at that miracles aren't enough. That crowd wanted miracles, 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 and he worked them. But miracles aren't enough. There's a time for the preaching and the teaching of God's word. In fact, a lot of people have got off track because they followed the miracle instead of following the word. Thank God he does miracles. Thank God for services the Holy Ghost takes over and just begins to meet people's needs in their life. But Jesus said, this isn't a time for miracles. This is a time for the preaching of the word. Oh, because the sensation of the miracle will wear off. But if you get the word growing in your life, it'll make a difference for now and eternity. Look at verse 9. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This means it's all about a choice. Am I going to hear? Jesus is already letting people know what this parable is all about. It's about deciding whether or not you're going to hear what he has to say. This word has a powerful effect on folks, but that effect depends on how they open up their hearts and receive it. Let me tell you what the wonderful thing is here. I'm going to go all the way to the end of the parable. Jesus said when that seed fell into the good ground, it brought forth some 30-fold, 30 times, some 60 times, and some 100 times. I've read that wrong all my life. I thought there were some people just barely getting it 30%, some people getting it pretty good 60 times, and some people really getting it 100 times. I missed it all my life until I began to dig around in this thing and find out that at that time, they estimated that those crude farming methods, Brother Michael, these crude farming methods, they normally only got a 10-fold harvest from their planting. Only 10 times. I read the parable in different light. If you are good ground, every time there is going to be an astounding harvest. There is going to be an astounding thing that happens in your life. Those farmers that sowed like this and then scratched it up, they only got a 10 times yield from their seed. But if you're good ground, Jesus said, you're going to get a 30 time or a 60 or a 100, whatever you receive. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't halfway do things. He didn't give one person just a little bit, another. I mean, if you're good soil, you're going to be astounded what God will do in your life. Jesus is making the point that there is going to be an ample and abundant harvest of souls. And in making that point, he reveals that people choose by their choice and response to the gospel. Let me put it this way. There is going to be a harvest, but there's two questions this morning. How many believe that there's going to be a harvest from this gospel? But there's two questions. Number one, will you and I be a part of the harvesters? He said there's going to be a harvest from this gospel. Will you and I be a part of the harvesters? But the second part of that, there's going to be a great harvest. Will you and I be a part of the harvested crop? I want to be a part of the harvested crop. We ain't got there yet, but when he starts gathering his grain into his barns, his bins, I want to be a part of the harvested crop. Jesus is driving at this point. There will be a harvest. The seed is good. The only question is, what's the soil going to be like? And so let's look at this and bring it all together. Jesus said some soil is wayside soil. Let me tell you who that is. That's the person with the shut heart. They have closed their heart to the Word of God. They can sit in the preaching. Hear me. They can sit in the preaching, but it's the expression. It's in one ear and out the other. It's water off a duck's back. Verse 18, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. One of the gospel writers says the devil. The other says Satan. Then comes Satan, the devil, and catcheth away that was sown in his heart. This is he who receiveth the seed by the wayside. There are people that have shut their heart. Even I have noticed this as a preacher. God has so orchestrated it that the message for that moment is directed directly to an individual. You couldn't have read their script any clearer. I mean, God is reaching out to them powerfully through his word, but they sit there, and by all indication, they have no idea, no clue that God's even speaking to them. You know why? They've shut their heart to the word of God. They said, I'm not letting it in. I'm not going to listen to that. I may hear the sound. I may even understand the meaning of the words, but I'm not going to let it in. Some are mentally lazy. They just don't want to try to hear and understand. Some are mentally arrogant. They think they've already got it figured out. Amen. But some, they allow the devil with other things to take away, amen, what God is saying to them. They allow themselves to be distracted. I've watched it again. God begins to speak to somebody, and a distraction, they allow that distraction to take the word of God right from. I'm telling you, if God is talking to you and somebody around you decides it's time to discuss the weather, it'd be better to get right up and march down to the front seat and sit there saying, I don't want to miss a bit of it. God's talking to me, than to let that thing distract you from what God is speaking to your heart. Can you say amen? If a person's not desirous to hear, they really don't want to hear, they have other things on their mind, no matter how much the word of God goes forth, it'll never get to their heart, because Satan will make sure there are birds there to take it away from them. That seed that fell on that wayside, the birds were there to take. I'm telling you, if you really don't want this word of God, Satan will make sure he's got birds around to take it out of your life. How many knows what the birds are? Well, Satan can do it himself. You can be hearing the word of God, and Satan can speak to you and say, that's not you he's talking to. Or you can't have that. Or you can't be saved. Or this and that. That's Satan with his birds. As the bird, plucking the word of God from your life. He'll use his imps. He'll do that. But I'm telling you, there's other birds. There's other birds. Hey, man, there's folks. And I know there's times you got to say something. But there are some folks. Hey, man. They find church time a time to visit. God's trying to speak to them, and their neighbor's visiting, or they're visiting with their neighbor. You might as well see a big old crow come in. I thought of that this morning. I walked out. I snuck up on some crows. I saw them out there, and I was going to startle them. It was right out in the parking lot, and so I opened the door real slowly and stepped out, and I got out on the porch just a few feet from them. That's pretty close to a crow, and they got frightened. There they went. They frightened me too. What I didn't know, there were two of them right above my head. And when I stepped out under the porch, they went, ah. So they got me too. But I thought, I mean, they were out there pecking on the parking lot. But I'm telling you, the birds that we have around here aren't just out on the parking lot. There are birds in this building today that would pluck the word of God right out of your heart, right out of your ear, right out of your mind. Other people talking, the distractions of that. I'm telling you, texting. Amen. Some of you don't know what that is. That's okay. Just shout, amen. That's the truth, preacher. Amen. I'm telling you, if you text during church, I'm not talking about something important. I need to call that. I don't have time to do all this. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. You begin to text, and you're letting a bird take the word of God right out of your life, right out of your heart. Amen. Daydreaming. I know sometimes we fall asleep. I used to tell my students, it's one thing to fall asleep. You're tired. You've missed some sleep. It's one thing to come to class and fall asleep. It's another thing to come to class and plan on it. And I had that fellow bring his pillow in his briefcase. Amen. He's planning on it. Amen. God's trying to talk to somebody. Amen. Take a no dose. Glory to God. Don't let those birds come in and take the word of God from your life. Amen. He'll convince you before it ever gets to your heart that it can't be you. You can't be saved. You can't be victorious. You can't have peace. He'll take the word of God out of your life. And then there's the stony soil. If the wayside soil is the shut heart, the stony soil is the shallow heart. It's a person who begins to have second thoughts about serving the Lord. Let's read it, verse 20. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and at first with joy he receives it. It excites him. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation, pressure, or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He gives up. He quits. I'm telling you this. this Word of God is a thrilling thing. It's exciting. When the Word of God is anointed, it begins to make a difference in people's hearts. They like the message. They like the message of hope and joy and peace and eternity with God. And they receive it right off. I mean, they'll come to the altar, Sister Mary. They'll cry tears. They'll get up with a shine on their face and say, I've never felt better. I've never felt so different. Thank God I'm saved. They'll be happy. But oh, it's a shallow reception of the Word, because then they begin to serve God and the pressure comes. You can have another preacher lie to you, but I'm going to tell you this morning, whether you're saved or not, there's big problems in this life of living. There's pressures. Oh, they're excited. I'm saved. I've changed. But the pressures hit. The persecution comes from becoming a Christian. And then this person that had so much joy, they think only of the discomfort. They think only of the crises. They think only of the trials that come from attempting to serve God. They lose their courage. They lose their joy. They have no commitment to this thing. They have no stickability to it. And so when the trial comes on, the sunshine begins to beat down upon them. When things get rough, they give up serving God. They go back to the world. They lay down their salvation. They just simply give up. I'm telling you, the reason is they had shallow soil. They lacked the joy of the Word, but they never made a commitment that said, I am going to give myself to this all the way. I'm telling you, you cannot serve God with reservations. Hallelujah. You can't serve God with a pre-agreement like they do marriages nowadays. I'm telling you, if you're going to serve God when you get saved, you got to get up and say, I'm committed to following Jesus. I don't care what comes. I don't care if my problems are solved. I don't care if everything's worked out in my life. I don't care if things get worse. I don't care if I lose my job. I don't care if my car engine blows up. I don't care if my house burns down. I mean, I am thankful that I'm saved and I'm not turning back. If you're not committed, the pressures will take away the Word. Notice what it says, because of the Word. Pressures hit because of the Word. I've had folks tell me, when I got saved, things were bad, but when I got saved, it got worse. How many's ever heard that? It'll happen. I'll tell you why. Because when you get saved, there'll be people against you now that you're saved that weren't against you before you got saved, because you was with them. And when you get saved, Satan's fighting you now. Before you get saved, Satan pretty much leaves you alone once he's got you. But you get saved, he'll fight you. He'll fight you for coming to church. He'll tell you nobody likes you there. He'll tell you you're not getting in. He'll tell you you're bored. He'll tell you anything. Keep you from hearing the Word of God. I mean, Satan will come against you. Not only that, you'll make ethical, moral decisions that'll have tough consequences. I mean, when you get saved, as much as you hate to do it, you'll start paying your income tax. Quit lying on your tax form. I'm not gunning for anyone. I pulled that right out of the air. You might wish I'd left it there, but it just went by and I just... When you get saved, you'll make decisions that'll make things tougher. And the pressures, because of the Word. I want to tell you, here's the sad thing. The sun that should have caused growth in this seed caused death because it was shallow, uncommitted soil. Look, I don't have a lot of time to deal with this. I don't want to lose you, but listen to me. I've seen that over and over. When the depth of the Word of God, the preaching really begins to call for commitment, that Word should cause some folks to grow, but because they're not committed to it, it's the death and the end of their Christian life. Because when they hear that call to commitment and they see what the cross of Christ is like, they will turn and quit serving God. They say, I don't want anything to do with that. And the Word that should have brought death brings death. The sun here that should have brought nothing but growth to the seed brought death to the plant, because the plant was shallow ground. I'm telling you, shallow ground is lacking the determination and commitment to God. We cannot do this on our own, but we can be committed to letting God do it through us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thorny soil. That's the struggling heart. That's the person that lives the double life. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, all the work, all the problems, the deceitfulness of riches, material things, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. These are folks that really have a desire for the word. They really have a desire for the things of God. However, they never let go of other kinds of desires. Let me, as succinctly as I can, what you have here in Jesus' parable is you have two different kind of plants trying to grow in the same space of ground. You got the good plant, and you got the thorn, and they're both competing for the same sunshine. They're both competing for the same moisture. They're both competing for the same nutrients. I'm telling you, when we get saved, we need to put to death all other desires and pursuits. If not, those desires and pursuits will be the thorns in our life. Amen. Trying to compete for what should be the growth of God in our life. The soil is good. The person has a good heart, a tender heart, a heart for spiritual things. But he's got other plants growing in his heart. I want to ask us this morning, what else is growing in our hearts? You say, I've got a desire to serve God. Yes, but what other plant is there? Listen to me. What other plan, what other desire do you have in your heart? If you let that desire that's anti-God, anti-serving God grow in your life, it'll eventually win out. Weeds will win out every time. How many garden growers know what I'm talking about? You leave those weeds there, they'll win out every time. They've got to be gotten rid of. The seeds have germinated. I've watched it this year. The beans came up, the corn came up, but then the weeds came up and they grew faster and overtook the plants and began to deprive them till I jerked those weeds out of the ground. I'm telling you, you've got a desire to serve God. You're excited. God's doing something in your life, but here comes that desire from your past life. That pursuit of this thing, that thing. It may be a person. It may be a habit. It may be a carnal pleasure. It may just be material things. That thing begins to take over your desire to serve God. Jerk that thing out. Amen. Feed the desire to serve the Lord. What else is growing in your heart? For some folks, yes, they've got God in their heart. But here comes that old plan of sports. Amen. It begins to choke out. They got to miss a church service for a game. They got to miss a Wednesday night for practice. And that old weed of sports will just choke out the word of God in their life. You can name your weed if you want to. Amen. It may be a relationship. It may be the pursuit of more things. But the question is, what is competing for the love and the attention and the time and the affection of your life? I don't know how you feel, but I love this word. And if I receive it in my heart, it's time to let it grow and pluck up every other thing that would take from God doing in my life what he wants to do. Last of all, thank God, there is the good soil. The good soil is the seeking heart. Oh, it's open. It's willing. It's committed. Verse 23, but he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth hundredfold, some 60, some 30. I'm telling you, we can get excited about this, and I won't go into it. But not only, if you have good soil, if you choose to get rid of the thorns, you choose to be committed, not shallow, you choose to chase the birds away, not only will it be a massive thing in your own life, you'll begin to affect other people, influence other people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are those with good soil. They not only hear, they receive what they hear. They not only receive what they hear, they're committed to it. They're not turning back. They're not only committed to it, they give themselves wholly to this thing of serving God and following his word. It's all they want is the word. Let's close by bringing this all together. What should we do? First of all, again, I want to talk to the believers. I've already preached a sermon. I'm just bringing together. First of all, as a believer, shoo the birds away. We must have this word. I know it doesn't just come from the preaching of the pulpit. It comes from the Sunday school teacher. It comes from your personal Bible reading. It comes when you listen to it on the radio. But I'm telling you, there are birds out there, every sermon, every Sunday school lesson, there's birds waiting to take the Word of God for that day from us out of our lives. How many know we need the Word of God? Shoo the birds away. Amen. Get rid of them. If something distracts you, sit somewhere else. If you're in the spit zone and that gets to you, move over to the side. See how many have right there. Shoo the birds away. Amen. I also like to say to the believers, determine to endure during hardship. Things are going to get tough. There will be pressures. But we can be determined. We're going to go all the way. Amen. Last of all, to the believer, root out the weeds of your life. What takes my church, takes me from church? What takes my prayer time, my Bible reading time? What is stealing my joy? I'm going to get that thing out of my life. Root the weeds out of your life. What would I say to the unbeliever? I would say to you, you have a choice. You can be good soil. You say, wait a minute, I've done bad things. I've got things in my life that are all wrong. That has nothing to do with it. You can choose to be good soil. You can say, what I hear in the Word of God, I want. I'm going to let God into my life with His Word. I'm going to just open up my life. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're an unbeliever, you can let God and His Word come into your life and change you completely. If you're an unbeliever, I'd also like to say, stop listening to Satan. Look where that's got you. Look at your life. When you've listened to him, he's messed you up. Why would you listen to him in a church service when God is reaching out for you and dealing with you and talking to you? And then Satan will come along and say, that can't be you. God doesn't love you. You've gone too far. You've sinned too badly. Just quit listening to Satan if you're an unbeliever. And listen to the Word of God, that whosoever will can come and drink of the fountain of life freely. Listen to God's Word, not Satan. Amen. And then I'd like to speak to the church briefly. Hallelujah. We must continue sowing the seed. I know we've been disappointed. A lot of the seed has been on the wayside. The birds have got it. Some of the seed has been on the shallow ground, on the stony soil. Some has been on the thorny soil. I know we could get disappointed. Amen, Sister Ruth. Keep sowing the seed on a Wednesday night. I know there were four types of soil. Only one of those received it, but thank God one of them did. We get disappointed. We get frustrated. We put out the Word of God Sunday after Sunday, sidewalk Sunday school after sidewalk Sunday school. We reach out, we knock on doors, we drive buses. Amen. Sometimes we can get tired of sowing the seed because some of the ground never receives it. It looks like it's going to grow and then it dies, or the birds comes and gets it. But I want to tell us as a church, keep sowing the seed, because there's good ground out there. I said there's good ground out there. Amen. They're singing in the choir tonight. Amen. We didn't reach everybody on the bus, but some of them are in the choir. Some of them are the workers. Some of them's driving the bus. Hallelujah. Amen. There's good soil out there. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hallelujah. There are people out there. Would you come, music? There are people that want to hear. How many believe that this morning? Through the years, I've shared it several times, but to me, it's one of the most powerful examples of the power of the Word of God that I have ever seen in a very concrete way. And I want to share that again this morning. I'd not been pastoring long. We had an elderly sister that had heart surgery. Things never went right after that. Never really became conscious after that. Began to get one disease after the other. Was on life support, deteriorating daily. We were back at the Vaughn Hall at some kind of function, and I got a call, and it was the nurse from ICU. She said, Pastor, you need to get here quickly. She may not even last till you get here. The family, I don't know if anyone was saved as far as I can remember. No one else in the family was saved. Quite a large family. I got there. The family was in the waiting room waiting on me. They knew the nurse had called me. We went into the room, Brother Wilson, and the room got crowded in a hurry. They crowded in there. I don't know how many kids and grandkids. The room was full. You get used to looking at those
those monitors and things. I looked up there, and the heartbeat was about 20. The blood pressure was almost non-existent. It was almost a flat line. No response. They said they'd done tests. There was no mental response at all. They said, she's practically gone. I did as I do so many times. I said, we're going to pray in a minute, but I'd like to quote Psalms 23 before I pray. I begin to quote the Word of God, Psalm 23. I said, the Lord is, and I got to my, and her lips began to move around those tubes, and she joined me. You couldn't hear the sound, but with ever cadence, she's moving her lips with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, I begin to quote, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, oh, and all through till I got to the end, these things shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord, and followed me the whole way forever, and flatlined. And that family, unsaved, there was such a powerful sense of God's presence in that room. They began to weep and cry. There was a hush. They could tell that God had visited it. I want to tell you, by every indication, there was no brain activity or nothing. But the Word of God is such a powerful living thing that the Word of God in that saint was still alive. And deep calleth unto deep. Hallelujah. How many believes in the power of the Word of God? I've got good news to bring. Jesus will save you. Jesus will change your life. You give your life to Christ, and there's hope this morning. Will you receive that word? Will you open up your heart and say, I receive? Will you be good ground? You say, I don't have it. Yes, you have a choice. Don't harden your hearts. Open up your heart. Say, yes, yes. That's what I've been waiting to hear. I'm not going to stand across this building. Amen. I'm not going to let Satan steal that from me one more time. Would you stand? Amen. I'm not going to let him take it from me one more time. I'm going to receive it this morning. I'm going to say yes, yes. Hallelujah. If you're thankful that you have heard and have received the truth of God's word, will you lift your heart and your hands and begin to worship him? Say, thank you, God, I heard the truth. Thank you, God, I've received the truth. Thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, but you've heard the good news that he came to die for you. He gave his life. He's rose again to forgive you. Hallelujah. You've heard that good news. I want to invite you to come right now to this step that we use an altar. If you'll kneel down here, there'll be someone right here to pray with you. But this morning you say, I'm going to receive the good news for my heart. I'm going to receive the good news that God has spoken. Would you come right now? You need Jesus. Would you come right now? Say, I'm not going to let Satan's bird steal the truth from me. I'm going to receive right now. You're here and you need Jesus. I'm tired. I'm tired. Hallelujah. 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 Someone can pray with this young lady. Are there others you'd like to come and say, I want to receive that? Listen, you may be sitting there saying, I can't be saved. That's the bird of Satan. That's Satan the bird. He's trying to take hope right away from you. I want to tell you this morning, you can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just open up your heart and receive that. Believe that. Say, that's me. Amen. That invitation is open. I want to talk to you young people, because all through the sermon I've been burdened. I've seen you in the altars. I've seen you weep and cry. I've seen you receive the word of God. But I want to tell you, if there's weeds growing in your life, they will win out. They will win out. Good to see you, Corey. Oh, open your heart to God. Amen. Listen to me, young person. Those weeds will win out. If you're desiring other things you know you shouldn't desire, involved in other things you know you shouldn't. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just saying the weeds will win out. This morning, it's time to get rid of the weeds and say, oh, Word of God, grow, 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 grow in my life. I don't want anything else but Jesus. Amen. Is there anyone else that'd like to come and simply say, I want the Word of God this morning, amen, to bear root in my life? Are you here? You'd like to come? Hallelujah.
Would you come right now? Is the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I want everyone that's determined to be good soil. Would you come and pray with someone or fill these altars and saying, God, I want to be good soil. I want to be open. I want to be receptive.